blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect in life, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Very familiar portion of Scripture. Let us turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And I want to speak today on God's green pastures. The first thing that we want to see today is that this entire psalm is predicated on the very first phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." It is because of that fact that all of these other provisions are true and they are real and indeed they are mine. But I want to notice that the Lord is my shepherd. We notice he's not just a shepherd or the shepherd or some shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. There comes a time in our lives when we have to claim him in a very personal way, that we have a personal interaction with him. And then we notice these wonderful words, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That speaks of a wonderful place of rest and a real joy, contentment in our lives to lie down in rest and tranquility. But it does not mean that we come to such a place of rest that we become very complacent in our lives. I want to notice and emphasize today that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, plural. We cannot be content just with one particular pasture and lie down and indeed go to no other portion of truth. The word pasture means to pasture. It means habitation. It means pleasant place. And it can apply to a number of different experiences in our lives. Here in our psalm, we actually have a number of different pastures, so to speak, or places that we would be. You will notice as we continue verse 2, he leads me beside the still waters. These are pastures that are beside those wonderful waters of the Holy Ghost. The green pastures signify that which is of resurrection power. And we find that Christ indeed becomes that resurrection life and power nurture unto us. You will notice further that in verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Keep in mind that this entire psalm is because the Lord is my shepherd. And there are times that we do have to follow him through the valley of the shadow of death. But he is there. And that is still a pasture or a habitation for us in a number of ways. And so, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. He is there in that pasture as well as many others. Verse 5, thou preparest a table. Here is where that we have a very enriched pasture, so to speak. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I want to see that God has a number of pastures in our lives. We read in Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. But you will notice when we go to Psalm 103 and verse 5, who satisfies my mouth with good things. There is a long stretch in there, a long gap between tasting and being satisfied with all these good things. And so, yes, we must taste and see that the Lord is good, but that's not the last experience with the shepherd that we want to have. We must come to that place where we indeed are satisfied with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And so this tells us of more substantial food, more substantial pasture for full growth in Christ Jesus. This is illustrated once again in many places throughout the scripture. I'm sure you remember the story of Ruth and how that she came out of the land of Moab. She was forbidden in Israel, yet the grace of God overcame all of that. She adopted her mother-in-law's God and the ways of Israel. And she came into the field of Boaz. It was not a happenstance for her. And I can tell you that the field that we go into is not happenstance either. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. And so first Ruth began to glean in the field. But before too much longer, she heard from Boaz, the owner of that field, and he said, go not to glean in another field. That's exactly the same advice that the shepherd gives unto us. There's only one good field, and that's the field of the Word of God. That's where we need to glean and to capture the message that God intends for us. That is the pasture in which we are feeding. And then we find out that she was invited to sit beside Boaz at noontime. And here he reached her parched corn. This is an even greater pasture, a more enriched pasture. But even after that, he instructed his reapers. He said, now you let her glean even among the sheaves, and you drop some handfuls for her, just purposely for her. That's the pasture that God has laid out for us when he gives us those special morsels that are just designed for our own personal need. This is the shepherd who is leading us in these wonderful pastures, and we are gaining, not just gleaning what is left, but going to these pastures where there is specific provender for us and wonderful food that indeed we can grow up on. She indeed, later on in that same chapter, it says that she did eat, and she was sufficed and left. We also must go in these pastures until we are satisfied, until we are sufficed with all of these good things. Another interesting illustration would be Mephibosheth. That was the son of Jonathan. And after Saul was dead and David became king, he wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul. He searched out Mephibosheth, a man who was lame on both his feet. This man didn't think a whole lot of himself. He said he was nothing but a dead dog. And yet when David invited him in to sit at the king's table as one of the king's sons, Mephibosheth took advantage of the opportunity. You and I have come from exactly the same place of squalor, so to speak. Absolutely nothing. A dead dog, as it were. And yet we have been invited into this pasture to sit at the king's table as one of the king's sons. I want to go to the 10th chapter of John and notice many of these same things in relation to Christ. This 10th chapter of John is a wonderful expose on the good shepherd who has given his life for the sheep. We see that in verse 11 of John 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. It is this good shepherd, like Psalm 23, that will lead us in those wonderful, tender, green pastures. Let us back up to verse 4. This is the shepherd speaking unto us, and he says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, this is where he takes ownership of them. There is the time in our lives when we must have that connection with the Lord, that we truly know we are his own sheep. It is a precious place. It is a wonderful place. It's not like Mephibosheth who looks upon himself as a dead dog. This is one where we come into that place, a real revelation of importance. We belong to him. And so we are indeed his own sheep. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. This is the responsibility. This is the role of a real shepherd. He is a leader. He goes before them. And Jesus has already gone before us. We know that men do not go through anything today that Jesus has not already been through. He knows exactly what it is. He knows exactly all of these pitfalls and everything. We are safe in following him as such a leader. And so he goes before them, and you will notice the sheep follow him, and here is key in our lives, for they know his voice. If we are going to go into the right pasture, just exactly as Ruth did and others did, we must understand and know his voice. Recognize the word of God. This is why we put such a priority on God's word today. That's the voice of the shepherd. That's how we know to go from one field to another. And so as we read here, he goes before them, the sheep follow him, they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, will flee for him. They know not the voice of strangers. When it doesn't ring true with God's word, then leave it alone. Reject it. There are many voices out there, many religious voices, just trying to deceive and to draw God's people away. We must indeed hear only the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the shepherd. You will notice in verse 6 that this parable spake Jesus unto them, They understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. We must come to the place where that verse is not true of us. We must be able to understand. Jesus is so faithful and he is so patient, and he does exactly the same thing with us. If we don't understand, he will do everything in his power to cause us, to make us to understand. And so he says in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. This is what we must understand today, is that the door is Christ himself. He's the one who gives us access. And so he says here in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But this is where, sadly, many Christians stop today. There is only one door of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. But Jesus didn't stop there. Yes, he is that door of salvation, but notice what else he said. And you notice, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. To go in and out doesn't mean, as some people seem to think, you fall in and out of salvation. No, he is the door of salvation. Once we have walked through that door, we are saved forevermore. But Jesus is a door to other things. It's the same door, but there are multiple pastures that he wants to lead us into, even as we have already seen. And so he shall go in and out and find pasture. As Psalm 23 says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. But it's not just one pasture of salvation. There are many more pastures that he would lead us into, out of one and into another, implying the growth as we grow out of one stage of spirituality indeed into another. We cannot lie down in one portion and just stay there. I have seen over the years, I've heard different people call, looking for a church, wanting to find something. And what I've found is this. There are many people that are just searching for what they already believe, and they don't want anything else. If you cannot tell me that you just agree with all my points of doctrine, then I don't want to be there. But the scripture plainly tells us that we must indeed swing out and grow into more truth. If men are satisfied just with what they know right now, they will never grow any further. God wants to reveal, he wants to lead us out of one pasture into another. And that means that we don't forget the glorious revelations of truth he's already given us, but we are open to see much more. I have said it again and again. Scripture tells us that the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. We have found out that is not in one operation. That is not in one experience. I absolutely am persuaded that we can know all truth. But again, I am also persuaded it will take us a lifetime to do it. And as long as we are in this world, we must have that attitude. Yes, he can reveal more truth unto me. And that is what he wants to do, as he indeed leads us out of one door of truth into another. And that door again is himself. So he shall go in and out and find pasture. The shepherd wants to really lead us into more depths of truth. The Apostle Paul also addressed this very circumstance, this subject. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. This is where that much of Christendom is in our day. And we must get beyond it. We cannot remain Corinthian in our attitude if we expect to win that first place that God has for us. And so in 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not," verse 1, "I could not, brethren, speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." We find two major pastures here. There is the pasture of milk, and there is the pasture of meat. There are many, once again, who just want to lie down and rest in this pasture of milk. And yet God says you cannot do that if you're going to grow up into Christ in all things. And so Paul says, "I would give it to you." If you read through the book of Corinthians, you will find that Paul gave some wonderful deep truth, but the Corinthians really did not respond to it. They didn't lay hold of it. They didn't cling to it. And so he said, "I could not really feed you as spiritual, but as carnal." And he said, "You wasn't able to bear it before, and you're not even able to bear it now." And there was such a disappointment in his voice, even because of that. "I fed you with milk and not with meat, because hitherto you were not able to bear it, and you're not even now as I speak to you." There was another group of people also. The milk, of course, representing the very basics of salvation. As Jesus said, "I am the door whereby you must be saved." But again, there are many pastures even beyond that. Before we leave this portion, I want to notice why that the Corinthians did not lay hold of that truth. We'll not read all of these, but Paul described him as being carnal in these next few verses because they were following earthly heads rather than Christ as their shepherd. The only way you and I ever go into any kind of truth, even into deeper truth, is by following the shepherd. And so Paul warned them against taking natural heads of men, men that they respected and indeed should for the place that they had, but Jesus is the shepherd who leads us into truth, and we must take him as our head. Paul had the same problem when he wrote to the Hebrews. Let's turn to the 5th chapter of that book, Hebrews 5. Paul begins his message here in Hebrews 5 and verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say." The first 10 verses of Hebrews 5, Paul introduces them to Melchizedek. That is actually referring unto Christ as the high priest. Melchizedek was only a type of that. And so he is speaking of Christ, who is our high priest, the high priest of the Jews also. And he says here, "Of whom we have many things to say." Seeing Christ as the high priest is comparable to recognizing him and owning him as this good shepherd that we have seen. The shepherd of Psalm 23, the shepherd of John 10. This is the Christ he wanted to declare unto him. And he says here, "Of him we have many things to say, but they're hard to be understood. And the reason is you are dull of hearing." They had not recognized Christ as their head, as their high priest, as their shepherd. And this must take place in order for us to follow him into these wonderful pastures of which we have been speaking today. And so we read here, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood, seeing you're dull of hearing. when for the time. And this really is something that we must take into account in our own lives, because for the time. Paul is saying here, you don't have to stay in this place. Yes, this is where you are right now, but he wants to lead you into something greater. So let us not let the enemy accuse us that we're as far in our spiritual growth as we're ever going to go. It's simply not the truth. We can indeed believe God to bring us out of one pasture and into another. And so as we read, for the time you have need that one teach you again. This is what Paul was trying to do, is to teach them again, as it were, the first principles of the oracles of God. Taste again and see that the Lord is good. And so you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You become those that are in need of strong milk and not of strong, or of milk and not of strong meat. And indeed, everyone goes through that time where we must go through the pasture of milk, so to speak, but we must indeed not lie down there. We must not get too comfortable there, oftentimes, as people want to do, but we must allow the shepherd to lead us into this next pasture. Verse 14, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. And you will notice, even those who by reason of use. Paul is telling us here that these messages, that these wonderful words of God must be worked out in a practical manner. It's not just a matter of seeing a revelation of truth, but realizing that God wants to make this a part of our lives by actual experience. He leads beside the still waters, but there are also those pastures where we are going to be right in the face of the enemy, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But then he also can prepare us a giant banquet table right in the presence of our enemies, and that too contributes to our growth. So strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's where we are in our day. We must distinguish between that which is good and that which is evil, that which is religious and that which is spiritual. God is able to make us, to cause us, to do that through the very power of the Holy Ghost, and we will not be deceived by all of the voices that are coming our way today, which would deceive us and rob us of that place that God would give unto us. We must understand and know this word by experience, even indeed as we are exercised thereby. I want to close with the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul speaks of this wonderful, deep truth. Rather than basic principles or the basic oracles of the Word of God, which is the milk of the Word, God intends we should have these glorious revelations of deep truth. As I said, there are many today who are simply not interested in learning more than what they already know, what they are comfortable with. But if we are going to grow into full-grown, mature sons of God, we must go in the pastures in order to accomplish that. And so we find in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and let's go down to the 7th verse. Well, I'm in the wrong chapter. No, I'm in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Let's go down to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Here is the difference in the milk and the meat. The depth of God's word is in a mystery. And there are a great number of mysteries that are brought out in the scripture. We have seen many of these mysteries over the years. The parables that Jesus gave in Matthew 13 are in mystery form. There is the mystery of the church age. There's the mystery of godliness, the mystery of iniquity. There's the mystery of the bride of Christ, the mystery of the kingdom of God. All of these are mysteries, and yet God intends that we should understand them. He wants to lead us into this pasture of mystery. And so we read here in verse 7 of our text, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It is not an afterthought. All of the things that God shows unto us were here really in his mind even before the foundation of the world. Verse 8, which none of the princes or the leaders of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That tells us that these mysteries are all embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice further, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This means the natural eye, the natural ear. Men cannot understand these wonderful truths with their own natural minds and understanding. But, verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. This is the meat Paul is talking about. This is the pasture of depth that the Apostle Paul is talking about. And I want to notice a little personal application here that all of us must take in our own lives. God, verse 10, has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Is the Spirit searching those things because he didn't know they were there? Because there's some kind of something new to him? No. The reason he is searching is he is searching those things that apply to my life at any given time. When we surrender our lives to the power of the Holy Ghost, when we're willing to listen to the voice of the shepherd as he would lead us out of one pasture into another, the Spirit searches all of these things, just exactly like it was with Ruth. Let some handfuls drop a purpose for her. They are things that are meant for her specifically and purposely. He does the same thing in our lives today, and they become very real, and they become very meaningful unto us. And we are indeed made to realize that we are in a personal relationship with my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and he teaches me these things. So God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he indeed desires that we come to this place where we explore all of these wonderful pastures, that we listen to his voice in following him into those places where we are going to be enriched to the very greatest degree. And indeed, as the psalmist said in 103, he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And this is the satisfaction that men, they're searching for everywhere today, but only the Lord is able to supply it.